Well, good morning. Happy Lord's Day. Morning. I thank you for having me. Being in my culture, these opportunities, and we're going to go into prayer in just a little bit. It's amazing. Like, I don't want to overstate it or over-spiritualize it, but I think I had a better shot of being in the NBA than being where I'm at right now. And if you knew my story in our culture, you would understand why I said that. So let us pray. Then I'll tell you a little bit about myself, and then we'll go into the Word. Amen? Okay. Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us, that you have allotted us this church building, this group of people, this body of Christ, for the coming together, the gathering together of partaking of the Lord's table, reading of your Word, hearing the Word, being doers of the Word, worshiping you for the glory of God with song and praise. We thank you for that, Lord, and for eternal life. We thank you for this church, Horizon Church. I pray today that you would have your way and that my mouth will be shut so that yours would be open, and that the body of Christ would be edified, and that the Holy Spirit would speak and not myself. Have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Real quick about myself, I'm Gypsy. Some of the Gypsies don't like being called Gypsy. I'm not that sensitive for Gypsies. A lot of people like to say Roma for political reasons, Roma, because it means that we wander, and the reason that is because we don't have a flag or a country, and that's what we do, we wander. And so in Mexico, there's Mexican Gypsies. In Italy, there's Italian Gypsies. And so we do have a language, we do have laws. I believe we're the least populated, or one of the least populated people on planet Earth. And so, real quickly about myself, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and I still love my church. I still love my friends, my brothers in the Lord, still love my pastor. And so, for 14, 15 years, I served faithfully. That's where I got born again. I always thought I was saved until 04, 05, and then I knew I was truly regenerated. And my life changed. I repented of a lot of things and started serving the Lord. Church was four times a week for 14 years. Never missed a beat. I just love serving. I love serving. It was, you know, it was Sunday, Thursday, Friday Bible study, Saturday radio station. We had a radio station too. My family had eight diseases, my kids, and glory to God, according to the will of God. Thank God. Either way, thank God. But His will was for us to receive healings every time, from cancer to fibromyalgia to all kinds of things. And so in 2016, the Lord tugged on my heart to be a pastor. And I, like Jeremiah and Moses, fought that. I said, no, I like my life. And I have enough of my headaches. I don't want anybody else's. And so whoever says they want to be a pastor is out of their mind. And so so God blesses us to continue to, those who are truly called, confirmation. You know, God allows us to drive them crazy through continuous prayer, because it's such a scary thing. And so I stepped out on faith, went to Milwaukee, trying to cut an even longer story short. My church, my pastor did not support me. I started preaching and teaching Reformed theology without knowing what Reformed theology was. I started reading the Bible, and people were calling me a Calvinist. You're preaching the doctrines of grace, and I didn't understand what they were saying. And so it took me a couple months to stop fussing over it and stop getting upset of what they were telling me, and seeing that there was a John Calvin, there was a Martin Luther. I didn't know all that. And so I accepted it. And so, in fact, it elevated my preaching. Now I got... theological, you know, got the catechism, I got the tulip. I could really now not be all over the place and teach it, and I loved it. So that caused me to be excommunicated. Nobody likes the Calvinists or the Reformed faith in our culture. That is a no-no. Being my pastor, we became friends again, and he insisted on me being in one of the Gypsy fellowship churches. And I declined it, and he insisted. And so I said, okay, let's do it. But it's not going to work out because all my teachings are on live stream, and I don't hide nothing. Well, no, we'll be okay. All right, well, I don't think it will. So it came down to an interview. I debated the big boss, the pastor, the fellowship of the gypsies, and that didn't sit too well with everybody all over the United States. Got more excommunicated, and so I'm called devil, Satan. I'm not to go really go anywhere. I can't go to parties. I'm not accepted to ministries or pulpits or anything like that. And so even recently, a gypsy called in our fellowship and made a false allegation because they're used to calling us devils, and now we got credentials, and now it's not working anymore, you know? And so that's why I got the first license, to help, you know, our people see, hey, this is real. This is not something that just was thought of, and now my heart is for multiculture. Sure, I don't want to just be, you know, everybody has got children whom God has called to be saved. And so someone called in recently, a gypsy, and said, I'm a racist. Just to throw a wrench in there, you understand? And so they're really trying hard to stop this. And so that's my story in a nutshell. So God bless yous, love yous, I thank yous. I thank God for yous, and I love the Reform CRCNA, because Scripture alone, only the Bible, only the Word of God, not theoretical, opinionated ideas, not what we think or how my heart feels. It's what God says, and I accept it. And we might not always agree with it. You know? Election, predestination. Our minds are not infinite. They're finite. So whoever thinks that's an easy pill to swallow, you're lying to yourselves. You got to be a deity. You got to be a supreme being. You got to be God to receive that in its entirety. And we're not God. But God is God. And we got to live our lives knowing that God is God, and we got to let Him be God, and we be us. Because God's going to be God whether we let Him be or not. So that we could be at peace in letting Him be God, living our lives according to God. Amen? Sovereign. So let's get into the word, that sovereign God today. Amen? And so we're going to be in 2 Timothy 4. And so I want to excite you. I want to give you a revival of understanding that sometimes me, myself, too, in my little 4 years of Milwaukee ministry, that we get comfortable, that we forget what's outside, what's going on, what's happening, what is this world coming through, that the Bible is unfolding with all of its revelation right before our eyes. We're seeing false teaching. We're seeing prosperity gospel. We're seeing lights, camera, action. We're seeing a friendly seeker church. It's happening. It's going on. Put on YouTube. Put on your TVs. Put on Instagram, Facebook. It's an ugly scene out there. So I want to remind us of what's happening. And I want to encourage us today that maybe we got some sin in our lives that's making us guilty. Well, not only did God call us to be saved, but He called us to be holy. Let's rise up. Let's repent. Let's brush that part of our lives off. Let's know that don't punish yourselves any more than the Christ who was punished on the cross, because it's not your punishment plus His punishment. His punishment was sufficient for us to have peace. We just read that in communion. And so stop it. Let's get out there. Let's understand. Let's minister the Word of God, and let's know it's going to cost us our lives as far as peace. We're not going to have the friends that we thought were our friends. We're going to find out truly who's our friends. Family, whatever it costs, it's going to cost. But what a cost. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen? So this is 2 Timothy 4. And we're going to do a little expositing. And maybe we're going to do about 8 verses. So I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when He comes to set up His kingdom. Already in verse 1, that's scary. That this charge comes not by the authority of Paul's flesh, but of God Himself in giving us the awakening, the understanding, the mindset, the remembrance, that this God and this Jesus in whom I charge you before, that I swear by, that I'm telling you as an oath, that this God, this Christ, will one day judge the living and the dead. This is something not to take lightly, this charge that was given to us, a command. When a lieutenant, a general, a commanding officer gives their soldier a command, there is no rebuttal, no refuting. Nothing could cause that general a compromise, a settle for less. Court-martial is the other option you have in not taking this command. God has given us this command. It's an order. And we must take orders from God. And here's the order. Preach the word. Preach the word. Not some word, not a word, not a kind of word, not your word. The word. That's such a serious statement that Paul has given Timothy, our young preacher, and telling him, preach the word of God. Because the word of God out there, we're going to find out later, is not being preached. Someone has to preach it. How beautiful are the feet who bring good tidings. That's the gospel. Romans 10:14. God has given us that call. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Be prepared. I could be prepared when everything is going fine. Preparation when the bills are paid, when persecution is not coming, when corona is not in my family. I'm prepared. I'm ready. At the drop of a hat, at the second of a phone call. But be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. There's never a time not favorable in preaching and ministering and sharing the word and giving to ministry in which God has given you, that is of his people, to give this word. Be prepared. Yeah, but you don't know what's going on in my life. You have a command from God. Wounds and all. Broken heart and all. Suffering and all. Financially distraught and all. You preach the word. This is not something that is conditional. Unconditional. This is what God has given us to do. We are not Calvinists that are stage cage. If they're elect, they're elect. I got problems right now. God's formula is he called before the foundations of the world. In Christ, to be in him and to be holy. Praise God. But the formula is that we were all born into sin and we must hear the gospel. There's still got to be a hearing of the gospel in order to believe. That's where we come in. If we drive ourselves crazy with the predestination part, we're going to be the most laziest Christians of any theological stance and denomination ever. We've got to continue. In our lives, this command in which God has given us, patiently correcting and rebuking, being patient when the time is not favorable. That's what I want to tell you. It's not easy when you got all kinds of things going on in your life and it's just not a favorable season. And somebody's just not understanding what you're giving to them, to be patient with them. Prayer, continuously coming to this church, Bible study, Zoom meetings, don't stop. Don't stop. Because if you do, you're not going to be prepared. You can't prepare yourself apart from God. Apart from the believers gathering together. That's why Hebrews 10:25 says, don't reject, neglect, or say no to the gathering of coming together as some have. Don't do that. It's not a good thing to do. Amen? Okay, you guys are still with me, right? All right, let's get to our verse 3. For a time, here it is. Now, as if God doesn't know, we are disobedient. No, George, we're reformed. We are disobedient. No, the Israelites were. So are we. As though the command wasn't good enough. So now God has to show us now, we're going to see in verse 3, let me motivate you to understand what I'm telling you and obey in the command that I am giving you. Let me give you something that's happening. Let me give you what's going on out there. I don't want you just to take my command just because I'm saying. I have a reason. And this reason, if you are godly and you are in me and I in you, you would agree with this. But you don't know this because you're not all-knowing, so let me drop some knowledge on you. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. I want to hear a message that tells me, come to Jesus and all my dreams come true. That's my itching ears. I want to come to a church that church doesn't talk about sin so much because I like to be comfortable in it. I want a church that just makes me feel good and lets me be part of what they have. I want to be on their choir and I want to be known. I want to be reputable. Don't give me all that teaching stuff. That's what's happening right now. That time has come. It's out there. I live it amongst my people and my culture. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Verse 5, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Preaching the word against this opposition of this false teaching that these people who have itching ears, that have gathered these teachers to teach this, when you teach the word, it's got to be some suffering. They're going to come at you. They're going to come against you. You're going to be an outcast. You're going to be hurt, broken, confused, busted, disgusted. Can't be trusted. That's how people are going to act towards you. Can't trust that guy. What is he telling us? What is this preaching, this teaching, this doctrine, this theology? Just love Jesus. Love someone who you do not know. So I'll read it again. But you keep a clear mind in every situation. Clear mind. No matter what the situation is going on in your life, whether it's personal, no matter what the situation on is in your life as you're preaching the word, whether it's persecution, don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Don't be scared. I'm afraid of how they're going to react. I'm afraid of how they're going to make me feel. I'm afraid of my kids, what they're going to go through, what they're going to go through at school, the mocking, the making fun of, the torture, the torment. It's just not a peaceful life. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news. That's the gospel. You got to work at it. It's an effort. And fully carry out the ministry God has given you. If you go to 2 Corinthians 5, the Bible declares between 17 and 21 that he has given you a ministry. George, I'm not a pastor. He has given you a ministry. I'm not a teacher. He has given you a ministry. I'm not a deacon. He has given you a ministry, but I'm not even an elder. He has given you a ministry. You're born again. You have a ministry. In between 17 and 21 in 2 Corinthians 5, the Bible says that God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. That word reconcile means to win over and restore. You have been called peacemakers to make peace between God and man, and given his good news. Fulfill that ministry. Don't lay it aside. Don't neglect it. Don't reject it. Don't time out it. There is no timeouts in Christianity. There is no clocking out. It's clocking in, time in, and until your last breath. As for me, But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. I almost went too far. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you, fully, to the T. No matter the suffering, no matter the cost. My job, how am I going to pay my mortgage? Pay the cost. This gospel in which I'm telling you, I'm not being hypocritical of. I have slept in the car because of it. I've went broke over it. I'm in the pawn shop right now because of it. This is what happens. There's a time of testing that God has given the believers that when he declares in John 16:33, you will have trial, tribulation. He wasn't talking to anybody else other than the disciples that he has given the great commission to go out and teach the commandments which I have given you. The suffering is not, I can't pay my car note. The suffering is not, I didn't get that promotion. The suffering is not a father or a mother that continuously mistreats you or a kid that you can't just have peace with because they're not listening to you. That's not the trial of tribulation. All those are. But in that context is trials and tribulations of preaching and teaching and holding to truths, sovereign doctrinal truths that God has given us. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. We got two more verses and that's it. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. This is how serious Paul is. That he's not given anything to Timothy by which by he's not going through or had been through first prior to telling Timothy what for him to go through. He's about to die. Church history tells us that this verse, theologians believe, and I come in agreement with, that this is the time in which his head was about to be decapitated for the gospel. Are we being burned at a stake? Are we getting our heads cut off? We live in the United States. We got our constitutional U.S. citizen rights. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. So anything that we ever will go through is nothing compared to what they went through. The reason why we teach what they went through is because it's documented by God for us to receive and teach. But if they could go through that, what is our motivation? Why can't I go through this? The same Holy Spirit that God is giving them is in us. When he declares in Acts 1, you will be my witnesses. In the Greek, that's martyr. That means you will be able to die for me because you have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives in us. Yet we're worried about hurting feelings. There's a people out there who's, if I really love my friend and if I really care for them, I will go inside a burning building and take them out of it. Not just beat the horn. And, I beat the horn. They didn't look, so give it a shot. You got to go in that building. And maybe you're going through some fires right now, some trials right now. Well, maybe because you're going through some testing right now to be put out in the field. All of us, where God is speaking to. How are you going to put a fire out in someone else's life if you haven't been through your own fire that you haven't put out in your own life? So the trials and tribulations we go through are testing. Testing for the trials and tribulations that we're going to go through out there and preaching the truth. And for the gospel that's being preached in here. You got one of our Reformed brothers, pastors, in Canada right now in prison for preaching the word. Put him in prison. He's in prison. I might have got out. I'm not sure. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. In my culture, I don't know about yours, but when you go to a funeral and they have eulogies, and the person deceased maybe went to church every now and then, and the eulogy will go something like this. They fought the good fight. They finished the race. What did they do? The concept of that in the world, apart from true doctrine, is that people think fighting the fight and finishing the race is staying out of a bar. If I'm born again, why am I getting drunk at a bar to begin with? Why does that have to be fighting? Why am I fighting that? I should be on my knees fighting that. And God will take that away. That's not what he's talking about or what he's declaring there. Remember, verse 1, context, preach the word. That's fighting the good fight. That's what caused him to be poured out as a drink offering prior in the 7th verse. Or the 6th verse, amen? Amen. He's about to get his head cut off for preaching the truth. Timothy, I'm about to die for what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you something for you to go through that I'm not. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Faithful to what? To go into church? Faithful to what? To give in tithes? No. Those are byproducts of coming together as a body of believers to glorify God in the sacraments, which are two of them, baptism and communion, and the hearing of the word and the worshiping of God. That's a given. It's a byproduct. I have remained faithful to preaching the word. Sound doctrine. The faithfulness that I've remained faithful in is the one that I'm telling you to. The preaching of the word that I've given you solemnly as an oath before the living God and the Christ will judge the living and the dead. Amen? We read that, right? Okay. Last verse. Here we go. We're coming home. I know I'm sharing a little bit long, but we're coming to an end. Okay? You guys are still with me? All right. You guys ain't sleeping, right? All right. Last verse. And now the prize awaits me. The prize now awaits Paul. Timothy, if you're looking for a pat on the back while you're doing this, if you're looking to get elevated while you're doing this, if you're looking for a promotion in this life, if you're looking for some kind of perk in this time, on this earth, for doing what I'm telling you to do, a prize to obtain now is not so. Paul says, and now. As though he's been waiting to die. Couldn't wait to die. Couldn't wait for this prize. But this prize cannot be obtained by breathing. It's got to be at your last breath. And now, the prize awaits me. The crown of righteousness. That crown of righteousness is not saying no to sin. Saying no to sin is an evidence of salvation in the Ten Commandments, in which God has given us to uphold the law, is evidence, not a maybe in a person's life who is a believer, but is present in a person's life who is a believer. But this crown of righteousness is not that. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, so only a righteous judge could give out this righteous crown. So the prize that you're seeking shouldn't be from human being, because it only could come from a supreme being. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me, will, not maybe, not could be. This is the last and final motivation that God is giving through Paul to give to Timothy, to suffer. In doing what I'm calling you, in which God is calling us, in which God is calling you to do, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So here's how we end. And so remember, what I wanted to do here is what the Lord has put upon my heart is to revive us. This is not me speaking at you. This is what I'm going through right now. This is God speaking through me to us. As a church, as a body. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so look what he's declaring. This is very serious. Remember, there's false teachers out there. False doctrine that itching ears need to be itched. That they will get those teachers to do just that. To soothe that itch. It's happening. We've read it. So watch what he's saying. I want you to catch this. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to appearing. If you don't take this oath serious and this command from God, before Christ and God who will judge the living and the dead upon his return, if you decide to say no to it as a disobedient believer, you're saved. It's not the problem. That's the situation. In fact, on that day, in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 15, your works will be tested in fire. My works will be tested in fire. And if it's of straw, clay, or hay, it'll be burned up. We will suffer loss, but we will be saved, just as one escapes through the fire. We heard the cliche, by the skin of your teeth. So you want to say no to this command. You don't want to do anything for the Lord. You don't want to continue to do what God has called you to do. Or let's go the opposite way. How about the false teachers who deliberately preach and teach something that is seeker-friendly, that is not according to the Word of God, that is not found in Scripture alone, one of our five solas? I don't think they should be looking forward too eagerly to his appearing in the opposite sense, and that's my point. On the flip side of that coin, what kind of fearful expectation would that be? Not to look forward in this life to his appearing. To dread that day because we're too scared of preaching the truth because of what we will face as a result of suffering. Not worried about other souls, but just good enough that Noah, his wife, and three sons, and three daughter-in-laws are in the boat. As long as me and my family's in the boat. What a dreadful day to preach something else that we're not going to be able to look eagerly or forward to that appearing and not receiving that crown. Because he will judge even the saved for what they did, good or bad, in the body. Amen. So, with that, let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this time. We thank you, Lord, in the name of your Son Jesus, for giving us eternal life. We thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us to be doers of the word. For giving us, Father, Lord, that push and which we need. And we're going to need third and fourth and fifth pushes in our lives and sixth and seventh. And you know us, Father, better than we know us, Lord. And we thank you for your patience and your love. Bless your people today for your glory to do exactly, myself also included, exactly what your word calls us to do. All to your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.